It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
All right, welcome into another episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. We're doing this one live. I am Josue Pavone. He is, of course, Cedric Maxwell. We got a very, very special guest, Bob McAdoo, two-time Lakers champion, joining us, NBA legend. What's going on, Bob? How are we doing? Max,
how's everything? Everything is good. I can't complain. I'm 6 feet upright.
I mean, you got that nice sun in Florida peeking through. Is that your sun? Oh, no. We adjusted your window.
It's still light down here. You know how it's a little bit brighter in the afternoon down here than the rest of the United States on the East Coast.
Well, of course. Josue, we're gonna start this thing off because
I gotta get right into it. I can tell.
Yeah, I heard what Kyrie said. Kyrie started talking about saying he said that he didn't want to hear any shenanigans, anything from the crowd that might be racially baited, as if they're going to say something to him, you know, that's gonna be out of pocket. How do you feel about that?
Well, you can't really tell the crowd what to say. I mean, when we played Max, you know, you might hear anything from the crowd, especially you remember when we went to Detroit and what was the barber's name? I mean,
Leon. I'm sure you heard it.
Yeah. Leon the barber, he would say anything. And I mean, this guy made coaches make substitutions the way he talked about you so bad. He talked about your mama. He talked about the coach's mama. He said the N-word. He was a black man, and he would call us the N-word. I mean, it was just ridiculous, some of the stuff that was said. People, and man, don't even talk about going to Europe. When I played in Italy, we got spit on. We got coins thrown at us, toilet paper. I mean, That's just the way the fans, you know, they get out of hand.
Absolutely.
And Bob, the only time you should be able to get out of hand is if they put their hands on you, or spitting. That's off the chain right there for me. I might have done something crazy if somebody would have spit on me at close range. I don't know.
But I don't believe. I don't even believe it has to be that, because I think that what we see, and I know a lot of people said, well, you can't make this a color issue. Well, you look what happened to Westbrook, and Westbrook, the popcorn being thrown on it. I've tried to tell people and educate some guys today on my radio station, the Sports Hub, about just people of color have some about things being thrown at them and thrown on them. Our race, our culture, over these years, we've had people throw stuff on you, and they were so, I guess, dismissive about it. Well, it was just popcorn. Well, I don't give a damn what it was. There's no need to throw anything on nobody if you at the game. And if you think that it's okay that to throw something at them, why don't you wait till after the game when you see them walking down the street, and you walk up to him like a grown-ass man and throw something on him. Like Westbrook said, there would have been a different ending to that one.
All right, well, Matt, let me ask you this then, because obviously this much-anticipated Game 3 matchup between the Celtics and Nets, the first time Kyrie Irving is going to be playing in front of Celtics fans, And he put out a little warning out there, you know, just in case. I know you guys might get too excited. I know you guys haven't seen playoff basketball in quite some time, but don't get too excited. Don't drink too much and disrespect me out there. Did you have a problem with him saying that? Because to your point, things like this are already happening because these fans, obviously, they haven't seen live basketball in quite some time, especially playoff basketball.
Have we ever heard Boston fans say that? Now, Bob might be different because he was from the opposition. But have you ever been called a nigga when you were in Boston on the court?
No, never.
Okay.
I've heard all kind of other things. I mean, Leon the Barber called us that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but
It was ruthless.
I never heard the Boston. I mean, they would, you know, they would call you asshole and stuff like that. And, you know, but it never got racial.
Bob, let me ask you this then. For someone like Kyrie to say that before game three, before heading back, is that a bit of a low blow? Obviously, the city has a checkered past with racial, you know, epithets and racism racing through this city in one way or another, especially in sports. How do you feel about Kyrie saying that to sort of set that sort of tone heading into game three?
Well, I don't know what's going through Kyrie's mind, but I know probably you too, Max. We wouldn't have said nothing. We just go and play and take what's out there, and hopefully it doesn't get off the chain. We're not going to warn people of, you know, before you get there. You got to wait to see what happens. And then if it happens, you know, who knows at the moment what you're going to do? I mean, you're talking about throwing stuff on people. I had a woman... I got in road rage a couple of years ago because a woman thought I cut her off and we were at the stoplight. She pulled beside me. My window was down and she had a cup of ice and threw the ice through the window on me. Well, I went berserk.
Wow.
I had about 10 Gatorade bottles that I had just picked up from the arena, you know.
You had some ammo.
I bombed her car out. My window. I bombed her car out. She'll think twice before she throws some ice.
Damn, Bob.
Anybody, especially a black man, you know, because me and Max didn't grow up in that time where, you know, you just kind of put your tail between your leg and let stuff happen, probably like our parents had to do. Mm. You know, this is kind of a new day. You know, you're gonna retaliate when crazy stuff like that happens. So, you know, with Kyrie, I wouldn't have said anything before I went to Boston. You know, I mean, I've played in Boston, gone up there, played with them for, you know, during my 14-year career, and we heard some raunchy stuff. And you just took it and played, and that was it.
Right.
Yeah. I've never, like I said, only time I've ever heard the N-word in my life while I played was in Detroit with Leon the Barber. Yeah. And he was a legend in Detroit.
Pissed everybody off, huh?
Boys, and I've heard him say, you know, told Bob McAdoo, you know what, nigga, if you ain't playing better, I'm going to send your ass back down to the damn plantation. So oh, I've heard him say that.
But well, I heard stuff worse than that in high school. Because remember, when we came up in high school in the 60s, that's when integration happened. And I remember, Brad, you were down east, but we played East Forsyth, which is right outside of Winston-Salem. That's where Chris Paul went, and it changed by the time he went. I think I told Chris about it. Chris said, yeah, my uncle told me about it. Those farmers used to be right there at the court with their bib overalls and cut-off pitchforks. And we'd be in the warm-up line, and they'd had their little cans spitting snuff and stuff. And they'd tell you in the warm-up line, nigga, don't you fall out of bounds. And we didn't fall out of bounds. So they had a damn pitchfork. You from Boston, do you know what a pitchfork is?
I've heard of it, yeah. I've never seen one. Thank God I've never seen one.
Pitchfork is where they be dabbing and putting hay on the wagon. This is what they threatened us with. We saw that all the time.
Well, Bob, you were in that era to me, and I just you know, I'm kind of in it. But you were in Greensboro at the time when they did the first sit-ins.
Yeah.
Restaurants at that time. Yeah. During Martin Luther King's time. You were there during those times.
Yeah. My mother would not let me go downtown when the students from A&T were at Woolworths and they would not serve you. And I saw on the nightly news these young boys were trying to get served and whites were pouring milkshake and stuff on their head. My mother wouldn't let me go nowhere near downtown. I was about 11 to 12 years old when that happened. I mean, and then, Brad, you know, we talked about Myrtle Beach. We used to go to Myrtle Beach. And, you know, they had a line in the sand. We couldn't go past that line. And Brad even said it first. He said the line went all the way out in the ocean.
They literally, Joseph.
Max says it was the size of a football field.
I told you, literally, they had a fence that ran from the top of the beach and went all the way out in the ocean by as long as the football field to separate blacks from, so blacks couldn't get in white water. What the hell is white water? I don't know. But the most ironic thing about that, Bob, as I told you before, is that my son, Madison Maxwell, later became one of the first black lifeguards, at Myrtle Beach. Just really just shows you how things have changed. But I still look at the conduct now of some fans, and I'm reading some of the chats, and some of them are called Kyrie a bitch, and he's this and he's that. But I think there's also fan conduct that, dude, gotta realize one thing: this is a game. Keep it in perspective. This is nobody's life. This is a game that these athletes are playing, and you can get revved up. You can be mad and you know, all these things. But at the end of the day, remember, you know, it's a game that hopefully all the players leave and they're healthy. And it was a game of entertainment. You paid your money, you saw a game, and that's pretty much it. So I'm saying stay in your lane. And people say, well, you know, what is it about, you know, Westbrook with the popcorn? They said, well, it was just popcorn. Well, you know, it was just water. With Ron Artest, it was just the knee in the
palace.
Floor. Yep. I mean, if you just want to say if you want to be dismissive about everything, but when Ron Artest, it was just water. He went up in the whole stands and cleared the whole stands out.
And Steven Jackson was clearing everybody.
Oh my God, they went up there. You talking about wanting smoke? They bought smoke. Steven Jackson, they bought smoke up in there.
Oh yeah, as J. Cole would say, there was a whole nicotine company of smoke. That's what's going on in the stands. Yeah,
well, we had to hold a lot of stuff in. You know, we really did. I mean, Leon the Barber was a black man, and let me tell you, that was the worst that I have ever experienced in my life over any white. You know, fan. I mean, this guy here, I was so angry with this guy. And they said, Bob, don't mess with him. This guy is packing. And, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm scared. You know, like, I knew some gangster types in North Carolina that I could have flown up there and could have taken. But you know, what was I going to get doing that stuff there? You know, you just hold a bunch of stuff in, you know, that happened during your career. I mean, I saw so much stuff. You know, we'd be here all day talking about it, from high school to junior college to Carolina to over in Italy. We just saw so much stuff that we just had to, just nonsense that you had to put up with.
Right, right. So, I mean, I think when you look at what Kyrie had to say, you also have to look at the relationship between the fans and Kyrie. I mean, Max, you can attest to this. The last couple of years, I mean, is it fair to say he's dodged these fans, right? I mean, one way or another, when the fan base decided to say Kyrie sucks at the end of a game that he wasn't in, what did Kyrie do? He went to social media and wrote about it. I mean, like, I feel like this was a way for him to sort of set the tone heading into this one. Like, look, you're going to boo me, make sure it's respectful, but at the same time, if you guys do get really, really harsh, from the national standpoint, the narrative right now I'm setting is that it's going to look pretty damn racist if you see a bunch of white faces at TD Garden, you know, chanting whatever they creative chant they come up with. now that he set the tone with this race.
Well, you know, well if they're
chanting, the race card here.
If they're chanting something like Kyrie sucks, even that for me, Bob, is something which is disturbing. And I'm saying this is disturbing to me because if I have a young kid with me and all these young kids are at the game and they're, you know how impressionable they are.
Yeah.
And they're saying, if I got an 8-year-old, I bring him to the game and we're chanting Kyrie sucks. And my son or my daughter looks at me and going, Kyrie sucks what, Dad? What does he suck? I mean, that to me is the thing that I look at. And I think Boston fans are better than that.
I think a lot of these people, if the kids just going to join in too.
That's
Boston,
a problem, man. Though. That's a problem. What are we teaching our kids?
But that's part of sports, though.
What?
That's only sports. That's part of life. You see what's happening today in society. You know, yeah. This stuff is totally out of control right now. You know,
and that's what I'm saying. It has to be a point where we start dragging this thing back in. And maybe I'm looking at it like, you know, I'm in Disneyland or I'm at the Wizard of Oz or something. But it has to be a point where we start dragging this thing back in. Because right now it's getting all of it is getting out of control. To the point where somebody's gonna get really hurt. And I mean, I ain't talking about like, you know, something like Ron Artest punch somebody. I'm talking about somebody's gonna get hurt, somebody's gonna get killed.
You don't think
Max, look at
you think Kyrie's thinking about stuff like that?
Look what happened January 6th.
Yeah.
You got adults out of control.
Yeah.
You know, how can you put that back in? And you got people in, you know, Congress saying, oh, it was nothing but tourists and stuff. Now, people, you got the whole party that they ain't going to like me saying that. But that's what I saw. I saw people with flags jabbing people, breaking down windows, you know, getting in the chamber and stuff. And they saying nothing but tourists.
There were tourists which were just, they were just coming into the Capitol building to look around.
Just to look around.
Hey, but Matt,
the overzealous tourists.
Right. Mr. Friendly, you know, I mean, are you on planet Earth? What is this, for political purposes or what? I mean,
what if the majority of that group was were black men and women doing that? Different outcome, right?
I think the machine guns would have been out and people would have been killed. That's what I believe.
No question. I agree with that 1,000%. I'm glad we're on the same page on that.
And it wouldn't be, you know, they fighting now over this commission. You'd have every Republican voting for a commission to see what happened, you know, with all these black people. If it had been Black Lives Matter, people would have been killed. People don't understand. It's not an even playing field out here. You know, it's just like when we go back to basketball, do you see a bunch of black people out there screaming and yelling and calling people out of their names at basketball games? I don't think so.
First of all, the average fan of the game is always white.
Yeah. Yeah, but when you see some brothers and sisters there, you don't see them getting out of hand.
Normally, Bob, they're sitting so far up in the damn seats.
Facts.
Ain't nothing you going to do. What you have when you have
Bob, black Bob, people, the best ticket I ever got was my media pass.
When you got black people sitting around,
never been that close.
The seats, those are the Spike Lee people. They ain't doing nothing anyway.
You're right. You up in the top. You know how that slant is? If they stand up, they might fall all the way down on the floor. That's how steep that stuff is up there in the top.
God, you feel like you're walking sideways when you're up there, man.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
I do understand, and again, maybe I am living in a little fantasy world about trying to drag it back in, but there's some point of me that says that, you know, we have to get back to saying this is a basketball game. It's a basketball game, but guys, it's not like, you know, anything else we're doing. We're not fighting. We're not doing this. This is a basketball game.
Well, let me ask you this thing, man.
So what?
Let me ask you this, though. It's the best. It's also a best of seven series. Like, that's the part I think people need to really remember also. Like, at the end of the day, guys like Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, guys who are champions in this league, who've been there, is this not more of a chess move, in my opinion, right? I mean,
you got to look at
it. Kyrie stating his facts. Obviously, Boston has a dark history, but at the same time, it's a mind game. It's a way to sort of switch the narrative heading into game three.
You know, basketball is like football, like boxing, like tennis. It's a gladiator sport. What happened back in the Roman time, you know, with the Roman Colosseum? They wanted the lions to kill people. When these guys are up there in the stands, they want to see, they want to really see a hockey game. They want to see fun. You know how we as
veterans. That's the way it was, Max. That's how it
was. They done pussied up the game there. You hit somebody in the head and, you know, you got a $25,000 fine.
Now you're talking to my language.
Yeah, Bob, we're live.
Now, Bob, no, Bob, you know, no, you're.
That's
you're,
okay. You're, that's okay.
Bob,
that's
okay. You're real because they are doing that.
That's what they're doing.
This game has been pussied up like that.
Yeah.
Where you look at it. Here's one I talked before, Bob, when I saw a stat I gave. Jason Tatum and Brown, these are our two best players.
Yeah.
Have played almost 650 games.
Yeah.
Neither one of these players have ever had a dust up with the opposition. Not one. Have you ever seen a great player in this league not have a dust up with another player?
Never.
Yeah.
Never. It's like when I first came back from Italy and I was watching games on TV and I used to see guys make shots and go down the court and they're looking at the other opponent's bench. You know, I even saw Jordan do that. We would say, okay, take care of him. Next time he come down the lane, he gonna be rolling. He gonna be undercut. He gonna be rolling about four or five times from trying to embarrass you like that. But you can't do that now.
Bob, there still has to.
Yeah, because everyone's friends, Bob. That's the problem.
I understand that. But I love Tatum and I love Brown.
Yeah.
But this is what I believe. When I saw Kevin Durant hit him in the face with an elbow, and then Tatum came down and ticky-tack fouled him, and then immediately went to the official and started talking to the official. I'm like, during my ear, what would you do? You're going to that man's ass.
Someone better hold you back.
This episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA and the NHL are in full swing now. BetOnline.ag isn't just about sports. If you don't want to bet on sports, BetOnline has other options such as award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. Now, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Head over to BetOnline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Now, don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline.ag. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook expert.
But you know what's different, Brad, with us? We would go out at the beginning of the game and we'd give everybody some dap, you know, shake hands and everything. You know, now these guys are fake tough guys. I don't see anybody shaking anybody's hand. But you know, like Joe said, everybody's friends. But I this is what I noticed. I don't see anybody shaking hands. Everybody get to their spot and, you know, like tough guys. I noticed that. I said, damn, nobody's showing any sportsmanship or nothing. And then they get in the game and they play that soft stuff. You know, while, you know, we played the Celtics, Brad knows our rivalry. We go out there, we tap hands and stuff. And then when the game gets going, it's on. It's on.
You Bob, you're so right. And people ask me right now, back in the day, why I wouldn't go to prayer meetings, you know, before the game with the opposition, the other team.
I'm not
praying with a guy that I might have to elbow.
You're right. Oh no.
I'm not doing that. Man, I might have to elbow you. I give a damn about, you know, your feelings, whatever it is.
I didn't get that either.
Bob, we're getting the chance to see part of this. They're showing it up on the screen. But
I just saw it.
It shows his elbow right here. And Tatum, this is all up in the face, man. Then you came down and fouled him. What's the next thing you do?
You went the other direction, straight to the road.
Dude.
Before he even got.
Look at him.
But first of all, the referee didn't call that.
He didn't know he didn't call anything.
Let me tell you, Bob, if
you don't take care of yourself, though, in this league, you can't expect anybody else to take care of you.
Yeah.
And this is what I mean by just being in a game like that. And I love these guys. I love Tatum. I love Brown. But
and in the crowd, Max.
Hold on, though. Let me ask you a question, though. What about this dynamic between him and Durant? I just feel like it's not only about Durant bullying him, but is Tatum too intimidated for the big moment to go up against Kevin Durant? Is he just not ready at this point? Like,
somebody asked me that. They said, well, maybe Tatum was one of these guys. I said, man, Tatum grew up in St. Louis. Oh, he ain't grew up with no damn silver spoon in his mouth and nothing. So he's played physical basketball. I think the problem is with the Celtics sometimes is everybody expects Marcus Smart, their uncle, to come and protect them. Yeah. Marcus is going to come over and take up. No, dude. In this league, and I would tell Tatum and I would tell Brown that in this league right now, you have, especially your best two players. If your best two players don't send a message.
Yeah.
And then, and even in this game, Bob, one of the things that happened was Evan Fournier was the first guy ever to say something to Durant in this game. Yeah. And this dude's from France.
Yeah,
he's from damn France.
Why gotta be all that, man?
How the hell is a damn Frenchman gonna be the first person?
I know it. You know they had a reputation.
No, Frenchman want all the smoke too.
For being soft, you know. But back in our day, what Durant did there, that would have been immediate retaliation. The foul he gave him on that video you just showed me, that wasn't even no foul. It was too soft.
Thank you. I tried to tell people this. That wasn't no foul. You tapped him on the arm as retaliation. You should have threw his ass down.
Oh yeah. All right. Well, Max, you tell me what happens next then. How did game three play out?
First person Tatum is going to. He's going to the official.
Are we going to see more of the same on Friday? What's going
to
happen?
I hope not. When you see that right there, that's enough to tell me right now what needs to be done. And I'm not advocating that there needs to be violence in the game, but I'm saying this about Tatum and Brown. You got to protect yourself.
Yeah.
And your best two players cannot be in a situation, and I've seen every player that ever been in the NBA. And why are your teammates coming over to grab you from the officials? One of these dudes need to be going over to Durant right now. Ain't nobody said nothing to him.
Matt, come on. It's the league. The league. That's 25. If he'd have retaliated, it'd have been 25,000.
Max
still
mad. Put his lights out.
Bob, I got to get some light now. Damn, man. Piss me off.
Yeah, Brad, put Bob, some light. Hold on,
let's talk about Tatum some more, man. Put yourself in his shoes. Like, are you seeing that? Is this an intimidation factor, or is he just overmatched? Like, how do you call it?
Tatum can go right back at him.
Right?
That was the veteran showing the young fella.
Yeah.
The young pup.
What it's going to be like.
The big dog versus the young pup. Yep.
Big dog versus the new dog on the block.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing his alpha stuff, you know, saying, yeah, you're not here yet, bro. You know? And that play right there, oh boy. Yeah, come on, Brad. You know, even when we were 21 and 22, we're gonna go right back at him.
Boy, there was
your worst nightmare the rest of the tournament.
Here's the thing, which was even worse.
Well, it used to be.
If you didn't go at him, every one of your teammates was going to go at your ass. Everyone, not one.
That's
everyone.
What I want to see
your teammates is going to go to you and go, man, what the hell's wrong with you?
Right.
What's up? Let's do this. They were in the middle of that.
You see, the thing is, if he'd have cracked them with a hard foul, okay, of course he'd have got fined, but they would have to have looked at the video to see who initiated that thing. And they would have seen Durant initiated all that physical contact that started the whole shebang.
Let me make sure I get this. So Tatum is going to make probably about $40 million over the next 5 years, about $200 million. What is them peanuts going to do for him getting fined?
25. You're right.
Them peanuts. And I know I'm talking NBA terms. Them peanuts right now.
Yeah, you're right.
For a guy like him. So right. I want to see the physicality, especially in this game 3, of Tatum protecting himself. That's all I'm asking for. Protect yourself, brother.
Especially when Durant is guarding him. He gonna get an elbow. He got the best 4 out of 7 games. You gonna get an errant elbow somewhere down the line before this series is over.
Somebody
made a point. Galvanize his team, fellas.
Somebody made a point, Joe Sway, that said that maybe Tatum wants to be liked by everybody. He wants to be in that club where you don't make enemies. But to me, in basketball, the most respectful thing you can do is stand up for yourself. Because when you do, that bully is all of a sudden going to go, man, just to leave it. And me, right. I remember one thing I did, and I tested the guy. And this is what it is, Josue. It's a test. This is what veterans do. Yeah. I did this with Xavier McDaniels. Mm-hmm. And David McDaniel came in. He was first came in the league, and it was one of my last years. And I said, oh, he's supposed to be a tough guy. So I was under the basket with him, Bob. And I gave him an elbow. I got him right in the stomach. He bent over.
Yeah.
And I ran back down the court thinking it was all over. I'm standing under the basket looking. He's standing right beside me. He balls his fist up and hits me right between my legs. And I double over, and all you can hear me going was, we're even now. We're good now. But those are the messages that younger players have to send to older players. And Josue, you love this, that I ain't taking – I know we live. I ain't taking no shit, okay? That's how that goes.
Right.
That's how that goes.
But he's
got to galvanize his team as well,
guys. That's how you get your reputation. That's how people stop screwing with you and stuff. I mean, my stuff started before I even got on the floor. They wanted the rookies to come. I had a veteran that came in my rookie year, and tried to bump me off the table. And I said, no, I ain't do that. You know, now I looked at him like, what you going to do? You ain't bumping me off this table. And the die was set right there.
What happened?
I let him MVP season.
You ain't bumping me from this table. That's how I was.
I'm gonna tell you what. Dave Cowens bumped me off the table. What did I do? Got off that damn table.
You got off the damn table.
Go ahead, take his ankle up. I'm good right now.
You got that.
As a fact, I'm going out here without tape on my ankle right now. I'm good.
No. Hey, let me tell you something. You're not going to believe this. I've had Bob Kaufman came in who, I don't know if you heard the story, Bob Kaufman knocked Dave Cowens out.
Wow.
Big Bob Kaufman and went to Guilford College. That was the all-star Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Those guys come in, and I said, no, I'm not doing that. They used to try to make the rookies take bags. I didn't take no bags. I said, that's not in my contract. I'm not taking no bags. I let Jack Ramsey know, and I let the veterans on the team know I wasn't doing that. Maybe that's why they called me malcontent and malingering. That's the
well, well, you know what? How about this?
First impression.
Wasn't it another thing of where you were drafted? You were drafted what number what?
I was a number two pick.
See, you number certain things, you they ain't going to screw with some people like that. I mean, you think about when Magic came in. Ain't nobody screw with Magic like that. Bird, we didn't ask Bird to do that. Yeah. You know, he came to our team. He was mad one time because we had, at that time we were flying commercial, and his ticket was pink and ours were white. And we were, I said, oh, man, what's sweet? What's your ticket? He was in coach. He was. But what we're saying, though, is and exactly right. When Josue, veterans are going to challenge you.
Every time.
Going to see where you're, in the playoff series, they're going to see where your heart is.
Exactly.
And if you don't come back and retaliate against them, then it's going to make them do it that much more. I mean, look at it. When Jason Tatum got poked, he got poked in the eye by Durant in the second game. It was out in the second half. Did you see Durant walk over and say, yo, man, you all right? You okay? He poked him in the eye. He didn't mean to do it, but poked him in the eye and then walked his ass away.
You veterans talk about that all the time.
One of the greatest scorers.
There was always some retaliation going on. Oh, my goodness. You weren't going to get away with that stuff back in the 70s and 80s, Brad. You just wasn't going to do it, you know? And a young guy coming in.
Was it always on the court, though? Or did something ever pop off in the back or not?
What's that?
Like fighting, did it always stay on the court, or did arguments or fights ever happen in the back, or no?
No, I mean the stuff would go down on the court,
and that was it, right?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
You know, and they might, you know, what's different from today is they are trying to protect their investment. We look back at us; it's almost like they didn't care about their investment. We used to get clothesline, undercut.
Bob, that was before the TV deal.
Next, you know, when we got 30, 31, 32 years old, they was ready to move us out of the league. Now guys can play till they're 40 years old. And you got 30 teams. We could have played when we was 32, 33, 34 years old. I mean, I ended up going to Italy, you know, averaging 30 points a game. I came back from the McDonald's Open and played against, who was it, the premier forward in the NBA when I came back in 86, Terry Cummins. I gave him 39, and they told me I was over the hill. You know, this stuff is just changed, you know.
Well, you talk about the length of people's career. Talk about your guy, your Udonis Haslem, still playing.
Yeah.
No, Udonis ain't playing. Udonis is my boy, but Udonis is not playing.
Yo, the one time he did play, what happened this year, though?
Now they talk about, you know,
guys
are good in the locker room. They didn't care nothing about you being good in the locker room. They wanted to clear a spot out. They wanted to get your high salary out of the way, and that high salary to them at the time was $300,000 or $400,000. Let's pay a young boy $100,000. You know, let's get this $300,000 out of the way. And they let a guy go who got all the experience, got all the talent, but they didn't care. They didn't care. They just moved on. They just moved on. Now it's 30 teams, and if you can still breathe, they keep you in the league.
I think you're so right when it comes to this league, but I think maybe it's all sports. So really, Bob, every sport we could think about. You think about Tom Brady couldn't play in the National Football League back during the time when people were getting, those quarterbacks were getting punished.
Oh yeah.
Now essentially you can't touch a quarterback.
No.
You cannot touch a quarterback in football alone.
No.
You ain't never see a quarterback during that era come in with a hook slide. And then now you can't tackle him.
Oh, like, no. Oh no, I can see Dick Butkus now. Brady sliding, and he jumps on top of him, and knocks his head off, knocks the helmet off his head, and then stand over him and look at him.
This is kind of this is what I think is crazy about the league now, Bob. Is I saw Jaylen Brown come in and dunk on Giannis, dunked on him, and then flexed his muscle, and they gave gave him a technical for looking at the guy. I was like. But looking at him, dunking on him, I mean, the league is that part of it.
You remember the referee that called a technical on that playoff with Rasheed Wallace? You know how Rasheed was. Rasheed was looking at the referee, and the referee gave him a technical because he was looking at him too hard.
Like, I remember him saying that, talking about he's trying to intimidate me. So I told him to stop intimidating me. But I told people, Bob, I played in a game one time, which was – the best of, and you maybe you never probably played in one, but there was one time we had we had two officials, and one official got hurt at halftime, and all we had was one official.
Oh,
man, through the whole game, I'm telling you, the one official kept his eye on the ball, but on that other side, that offside, there was cussing, screaming, fighting, kicking. Crazy on that side.
I can't imagine one official.
Bob, what happened in 84, man? People keep asking about 84.
84?
Yeah.
Injuries, man. Injuries.
I think there's some sort of incident. What happened in 84? A commissioner told you and Coop to not wear your socks?
Me and Coop, we've been wearing our long socks all year. And he came in and told us we got to be uniform. Everybody got to either wear the little short Laker gold and purple socks or everybody got to wear long socks.
Wow.
You think me and Cooper listened to that crap?
Absolutely not.
We went out there and wore our long socks. You know,
was it a superstition thing or you were just making a statement?
No, it's just what you've been doing your whole career. You know, I had my strings out of my shorts and I've been wearing my long socks ever since high school. I'm not going to change just because of that.
Right.
You know, I mean, they even came in and told us, Brett, I don't know if they told you guys, they told us we were getting too physical. So Pat came in and told us we got to calm down, you know, with our physicalness in the game. What?
How about this? They didn't tell us that.
Well, they told us that.
They didn't tell us that.
Yeah, they told us that, Brett.
They would have came in and they would have got thrown out of the locker room. I think just wait, the thing about that I you know it's so sad is the fact that in 1984, you know, when I did the get on my back and I had 24-8-8 in game 7, Bob McAdoo was hurt and didn't play. One of my best players did not play. Now, I could give a damn if he was my friend because I was gonna go at it. The very next year in 85, I was hurt and I didn't play in the playoff series. So it was just really wild how those things kind of went back and forth. And Josue, the big thing about it is that the competitive nature that we had was so great that Bob McAdoo is still one of my best friends in sports. Mm-hmm. And actually stayed with me. He got traded from the New York Knicks to the Boston Celtics. What year was that? 1980?
It had to be
79, 80?
About 80. Seemed like it was about, I'm going to say.
79.
And Josue, he was so mad. We had about 2 months to go. He was so mad. He didn't even go out and get an apartment. He slept on my couch in my one-bedroom apartment for 2 months.
Oh, man.
And here's the thing about Bob. Bob didn't know how to cook.
Nope.
So I was like his chauffeur, his cook, his butler. I mean, I was like,
what a teammate. Teammate, roommate, cook.
And all he was doing was,
oh, that's a come-up. That's
a come-up. Tell him the way they did me. I get traded from the Knicks. I'm in the running with George Gervin and David Thompson for the scoring lead, okay? I get traded. I get to Boston. You know, they had that big thing with John Y. Brown and Red R back and stuff. And I get to Boston for a trade. Casey Jones and Talon's going to put me in the game with 3 minutes to go. And I'm averaging 29 points coming from New York. And I said, no, I ain't doing that. Hey, you ain't put me in no game in no 3 minutes ago. Uh-uh. No way. No way, Jose. And I told – I had gotten
– that was an hour ago you could have put me in, man. That's it.
My father kept saying – said, son, why are you not going to Boston? I said, Dad, you don't understand. And I told my father this. He said, Boston is the graveyard for black players. My father turned to me and said, boys, your check won't get there on the 1st and the 15th. I said, yeah. He said, you get your ass up there at Boston. He didn't want to hear nothing about no graveyard stuff. But, I mean, he was right, and I was right. Because when they didn't sign me back, oh, boy. You could see all the underhanded stuff that Boston did, the way they talked about me. A weaker person wouldn't have kept on going. You know, you just heard all this. I mean, I heard words. I never heard the word malcontent, malingerer. I had to look these words up in the dictionary. I said, what the heck is that? Malcontent and malingerer, that's the stuff they did to the black players that left Boston. They didn't, to me, because I played against them. We had all those great series when I was in Buffalo. And, you know, how can you put me in a game with 3 minutes when I was averaging 40 points a game against Collins? Why would you do that? I didn't have anything to do with the trade. That was with the management. Y'all get that together. Don't dog me like that and don't think I'm going to take that. It just wasn't going to happen.
Well, let me tell you something. I tell Max this all the time growing up, right? Obviously, born and raised in Boston. And, you know, growing up in Boston, the OGs, they always thought it was so funny that I was a Celtics fan, right? Because when I was growing up, the Celtics weren't a great team. You know, Paul was still around, but they weren't winning games. They weren't making the playoffs. And the OGs always say, why are you love the Celtics so much? You know, they don't play well. You weren't even around for the good old years. And you know, and I always say, because I'm born and raised in Boston, I got to represent my team. You know, that's the way I was brought up. Where my dad introduced me to the game. And it was interesting because I always looked at it as a racial thing. You know, it was like, no, growing up, we never cheer for the Celtics. We cheer for the Lakers. You know, that's the black squad. That's the squad that goes against the white Celtics that had a few couple of black players. But so what? Yeah. We can't stand their asses. And that always blew my mind, Bog. I'm like, yo, that's your squad. You're able to see the golden era of them competing for championships, and you're cheering for the Lakers? What is wrong with y'all? How is Larry Bird not the favorite player? How is, you know, or Parrish or McHale or Max? Like, how are these guys not your favorite players? No, they cheered for the Lakers throughout. Guys that were born and raised in Boston. Why do you think that is, Bobby?
Well, look, me and Brad came up in the 60s. You probably too young remember this. I remember when – did you see the movie Glory Road?
I did.
Well, I saw it live when it was on TV. University of Kentucky against Texas Western. All five whites against all five blacks.
Classic.
They want to talk about Bird Magic series as being the most watched. I don't believe that. I believe the most watched game was that Texas Western Kentucky game because it was a racial thing. Mm-hmm. All the black people were cheering for Texas Western. That was the first time. And somebody told me Chicago, Loyola, Chicago had the first one. But this black team here, all black team, won it in 1966. And everybody was pulling, all black nation was pulling for Texas Western, and they pulled it off. Okay? Now, let me shoot back to 1972. Charlie Scott was the first black in North Carolina. Then by the time I got there, it was only me and Bill Chamberlain. We get to the Final Four, okay? It's only me and Bill. We in the state of North Carolina. People love the University of North Carolina. We played Florida State in the semifinals. Five brothers. People said, Bob, we sorry. We love you and Bill Chamberlain, but we got to go for the brothers for Florida State. Florida State beat us by 4 points in that Final Four, and they ended up losing to Bill Walton and them by 2 or 3 points in the championship game. But that's just the way it's been. You know, the brothers going to stay with the brothers when it comes to basketball, especially in the 60s, 70s.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
And those OGs that were talking to me, Bob, they were Canadian.
Tell me this, Bob.
They love magic. They love magic more than Larry.
I got another question for you, Bob. Well, why was it that I knew basketball had changed the first time I saw it? There was Jesus, there was Martin Luther King in the barbershop, and then there was a picture of Larry Bird in the black barbershop. I was like, I knew things had changed. I'm like, are you crazy? Man, I officially got on the Larry Bird bandwagon. Then I'm like, damn, this brother done crossed that. Because I always tell people, I say I was the first guy, actually the first pro to play against him. My second year in the league, I was averaging 19 points a game. So I'm playing against Larry, and I was again a prejudiced black dude who never thought any white guys could play. And I remember sitting on the stanchion when he walked in. I'm like, I did like this. Great white hope. Here we go.
Here comes the hype.
And we went on the first practice, like, I am going at Larry. I am scoring.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that this white boy was this bad. I was like, he hit the first jump shot. I'm like, maybe that was a luck. Second one, third one. By the end of the practice, I remember getting to the first black person I could see. You know what? This damn white guy can play. and I said, God's a funny God, though. I said, he doesn't give me one great white player. He gives me two of the greatest white players ever to play.
Ever to play together.
On the team. I know you want to talk about Dave Cowens. We've talked about Havlicek. But Larry Bird and Kevin McHale were the two greatest white players ever to play together.
Yeah, Mac, did you take Larry to Slades?
They could definitely play that. But you know what? You know what, Brad?
You take him out to eat the Slades?
back in the 60s, now these guys didn't get to where Bird and McHale got, but didn't you have some bad white boys in Carolina that can play? We had some boys in Greensboro and Burlington, this boy Tommy Cole, this boy Jackie Crutchfield in Green. Man, these boys could go. Oh, man, these guys could play.
Man, look, Bob, the first white guy I ever just admired playing the game, he played at University of Virginia. Cool as hell.
Y'all were talking about your favorite white player.
His name was Barry Parkhill.
He's the one that made MVP in the ACC over me.
That dude, he had the shaggy hair going.
I remember.
Barry Parkhill was a bad boy, man.
I came in second in both ACC player.
His name was Barry Parkhill.
He didn't. I think he might have played 1 year, or he might have got cut when he got to the NBA. But he was definitely doing it at Virginia. That's for sure.
I had a situation in the game that we had Bob guarding me, and Bob was laughing, and I told him, I said, Bob, you know we're ready to go at you right now. He said, No, he was overplaying me, and he's watching the ball go from the left side to the right side into my hands. I said, well, here we go. And this dude happened to be, but you know what? He did not give me any quarter. If he had to elbow me, he would have. If I had to elbow him, we would have. But that's the difference in the league right now. I think guys are good enough that they can police themselves without the NBA just kind of taking over and taking away. Because NBA basketball, to me, a lot of times, Bob, was about intimidation, intimidating your opponent. And if you could talk to a guy and you win at a guy enough, that guy was eventually he was gonna crumble.
Well, Brad, I remember when we were in the warm up and you called me to half court and we came to talk to each other and you said, "Go get Byron Scott." You know, And I got Byron Scott, and you told Byron, oh, Danny Ainge is going at your ass tonight. I said, Brad doing the Don King right before the game started.
Oh man, yo, we could keep going for hours, man. But Bob, we're gonna wrap things up here. We appreciate you, Bob McAdoo. Man, we appreciate your time. 2 times NBA champion, what is it? 5 times scoring champ, or 3 times? Excuse me, 3 times scoring champ, 5 times All Star. Bob McAdoo, Cedric Maxwell podcast. We appreciate you, man. We'll get you back on here soon.
No problem.
No, brother. Much love to you. Peace out.
All right. The QC.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Cedric Maxwell podcast, guys. Subscribe. We are everywhere where you can find your favorite podcast, every platform. Subscribe to the Cedric Maxwell podcast. And, of course, CLNS Media, if you haven't already, subscribe on YouTube.